"Call Sergeant Manyoro to the witness stand," said Bobby Sampson confidently and loudly. A stunned silence fell over the officers' mess. The judges looked up from their notes with immediate interest as Manyoro limped through the door on a crudely carved crutch. He wore his number one dress uniform with puttees neatly wound around his calves, but his feet were bare. The regimental badge on the front of his red fez and his belt buckle had been lovingly polished with brasso until they gleamed like stars. Sergeant Major Mthethi marched behind him, trying unsuccessfully to stop himself grinning. The pair came to a halt in front of the high table and saluted the judges with a flourish. "Sergeant Major Mthethi will act as interpreter for those of us with limited Kiswahili," Bobby explained. When the witness had been sworn in, Bobby looked at the interpreter. "Sergeant Major, please ask the witness to state his name and rank."
"I am Sergeant Manyoro of C Company, 3rd Battalion, 1st Regiment, the King's African Rifles," Manyoro announced proudly.
Major Snell's face crumpled with dismay. Until that moment, he had not recognized Manyoro. Leon had heard him announce more than once at the mess bar when he was on his third or fourth whiskey,
"These bloody wogs all look the same to me."
Such pejorative remarks were typical of Snell's overbearing, disdainful attitude. No other officer would have used such a term to describe the men he commanded. "Have a good look at this bloody wog, Froggy," Leon thought happily. "You won't forget his face in a hurry."
"Your Honour," Bobby addressed the senior judge, "may the witness be allowed to give his evidence while seated. He has taken a Nandi arrow through his right leg. As you can see, it has not yet healed properly." All eyes in the room went down to Manyoro's thigh, which had been swathed in fresh bandages that morning by the regimental surgeon. A patch of fresh blood had oozed through the white gauze.
"Of course," said the senior judge. "Someone fetch him a chair."
Everyone was leaning forward with anticipation. Major Snell and Eddie Roberts were exchanging agitated whispers. Eddie kept shaking his head.
"Sergeant, is this man your company officer?" Bobby indicated Leon at his side.
"Bwana Lieutenant, he is my officer."
"Did you and your troop march with him to Naombi Boma?"
"We did, Bwana Lieutenant."
"Sergeant Manyoro, you need not keep calling me Bwana Lieutenant," Bobby protested in fluent Kiswahili.
"Indio, Bwana Lieutenant," Manyoro agreed.
Bobby switched back into English for the benefit of the judges.
"On the march, did you come across any suspicious tracks?"
"Yes. We found where a war party of 26 Nandi warriors had come down the Rift Valley wall from the direction of Gelai Lumbwa."
26? Are you sure?"
"Of course I am sure, Bwana Lieutenant."
Manyoro looked affronted at the fatuity of the question.
"How did you know for certain that it was a war party?"
"They had no women or children with them."
"How did you know they were Nandi and not Maasai?"
"Their feet are smaller than ours, and they walk in a different way."
"How different?"
"Short strides. They are midgets. They do not step first onto their heel and push off with their toe, as a true warrior does. They slap their feet down like pregnant baboons."
"So you could be certain that this was a Nandi war party?"
"Only a fool or a small child could have doubted it."
"Where were they headed?"
"Towards the mission station at Nakuru."
"Was it your opinion that they were on their way to attack the mission?"
"I did not think that they were going to drink beer with the priests," Manyoro replied loftily.
And when the sergeant major had translated, the senior judge stifled a guffaw. The other judges smiled and nodded. Eddie was looking glum now.
"You told all this to your lieutenant? You discussed it with him?"
"Of course."
"He gave you orders to pursue this war party?"
Manyoro nodded.
"We followed them for 2 days until we came so close that they realized we were after them."
"How did they reach that conclusion?"
"The bush was open, and even the Nandi have eyes in their heads," Manyoro explained patiently.
"Then your officer ordered you to break off the pursuit and go to Naombi.
Do you know why he decided not to engage the enemy?"
26 Nandi went off in 26 directions. My lieutenant is not a fool. He knew we might catch one if we ran hard and were lucky. He also knew that we had frightened them off and they would not continue to Nakuru. My Bwana had saved the mission from attack and he would not waste more time.
But you had lost almost 4 days.
Indio, Bwana Lieutenant.
When you reached Nyombi, what did you find?
Another Nandi war party had raided the Boma. They had killed the district commissioner, his wife and child. They had speared the baby and drowned the man and woman by pissing in their mouths.
The judges leaned forward attentively as Bobby led Manyoro through a description of the Nandi ambush and the desperate fighting that had followed. Without visible emotion, Manyoro told of how the rest of the troop had been cut down and how he and Leon had fought their way into the Boma and beaten back the attackers.
During the fight, did your lieutenant behave like a man?
He fought like a warrior.
Did you see him kill any of the enemy?
I saw him kill 8 Nandi, but there may have been more. I myself was occupied.
Then you received your wound. Tell us about that.
Our ammunition was almost finished. We went out to recover more from our dead askari who were lying in the parade ground.
Lieutenant Courtney went with you?
He led the way.
What happened then?
One of the Nandi dogs shot an arrow at me. It struck me here.
Manyoro drew up the leg of his khaki shorts and showed his bandaged leg.
Were you able to run with that wound?
No.
How did you escape?
When he saw that I had been struck, Bwana Courtney turned back to fetch me. He carried me into the Boma.
You are a big man.
He carried you?
I am a big man because I am Maasai.
But Bwana Courtney is strong. His Maasai name is Buffalo.
What happened next?
Manyoro described in detail how they had held out until the Nandi set fire to the building, how they had been forced to abandon it and use the cover of the smoke from the burning roof to escape into the banana plantation.
What did you do then?
When we reached the open ground beyond the plantation, I asked my Bwana to leave me with his pistol and go on alone.
Did you plan to kill yourself because you were crippled and you did not want the Nandi to catch and drown you as they had done to the district commissioner and his wife?
I would have killed myself rather than die the Nandi way. But not before I had taken a few of the jackals with me,
Manyoro agreed.
Your officer refused to leave you?
He wanted to carry me on his back to the railway line. I told him it was 4 days' march through Nandi tribal lands and that we already knew the ground was swarming with their war parties. I told him my mother's manyata was only 30 miles distant and deep in Maasai land where Nandi curs would never dare to follow.
I told him that if he was determined to take me with him, we should go that way.
He did as you suggested.
He did.
30 miles.
He carried you on his back for 30 miles?
Perhaps a little further. He is a strong man.
When the two of you reached your mother's village, why did he not leave you there and return to Nairobi immediately?
His feet were ruined from the march from Nyombi. He could not walk further on them. My mother is a famous healer of great power. She treated his feet with her medicine. Bwana Courtney left the manyata as soon as he was able to walk.
Bobby paused and looked at the three judges. Then he asked,
Sergeant Manyoro, what are your feelings for Lieutenant Courtney?
Manyoro answered with quiet dignity, My Bwana and I are brothers of the warrior blood.
Thank you, Sergeant. I have no further questions for you.
For a long moment there was a hush of awe in the courtroom. Then Colonel Wallace roused himself.
Lieutenant Roberts, do you wish to cross-examine this man?
Eddie conferred hurriedly with Major Snell, then stood up reluctantly.
No, sir, I have no questions for him.
Are there any more witnesses?
"Will you call your client to the stand, Lieutenant Sampson?" Colonel Wallace asked. He pulled out his watch and consulted it pointedly.
"With the court's indulgence, I shall call Lieutenant Courtney. However, I have almost finished and will not detain the court much longer."
"I am relieved to hear that. You may proceed."
When Leon took the stand, Bobby handed him a sheaf of papers and asked, "Lieutenant Courtney, Is this your official report of the Niobe expedition which you gave to your commanding officer?
Leon thumbed through it quickly.
Yes, this is my report. Is there anything in it you wish to retract, anything you wish to add to it?
No, there is not.
You affirm under oath that this report is true and correct in every detail.
I do.
Bobby took the document from him and placed it before the judges.
I wish this report to be entered into evidence.
It has already been entered, said Colonel Wallace testily. We have all read it. Ask your questions, Lieutenant, and let's have done with it.
I have no further questions, Your Honour. The defence rests.
Good, the Colonel was pleasurably surprised. He had not expected Bobby to be so quick. He scowled at Eddie Roberts. Are you going to cross-examine?
No, sir. I have no questions for the accused.
Excellent, Wallace smiled for the first time. The witness may stand down, and the prosecution can get on with its summation.
Eddie stood up, trying to portray the confidence he obviously lacked. May it please the court to direct its attention to both the written report of the accused, which he has affirmed under oath, is correct in every detail, and to Sergeant Manioro's corroborating evidence. They both confirm that the accused deliberately ignored his written orders to proceed with utmost dispatch to Niobe Station and instead set off in pursuit of the Nandi war party that he believed might be heading in the direction of Nakuri Mission. I submit that the accused has admitted he was guilty of the charge of deliberately refusing to follow the orders of a superior officer in the face of the enemy. Absolutely no doubt about that.
Eddie paused to gather himself. He took a deep breath, as though he was about to dive into a pool of icy water. As for Sergeant Manioro's slavish endorsement of the accused actions thereafter, may I direct attention to his childlike and emotional statement that he and the accused are brothers of the warrior blood?
Colonel Wallace frowned, and his fellow judges stirred uneasily on their seats.
It was not the reaction Eddie had hoped for, and he hurried on. I submit that the witness had been briefed by the defence, and that he is completely in the thrall of the accused. I suggest to you that he would have parroted any words put into his mouth.
Captain Roberts, are you suggesting that the witness shot himself in the leg with an arrow to cover up his platoon commander's cowardice?
Colonel Wallace asked. Eddie sat down as the courtroom exploded with laughter.
Silence in court, please! Gentlemen, please!
The adjutant remonstrated.
Is that your summation, Captain? Have you finished? Wallace inquired.
I have, Your Honour.
Lieutenant Sampson, do you care to refute the defence's summation?
Bobby came to his feet. Your Honour, we reject not only the entire substance of the summation, but we take umbrage at the prosecution's slur on Sergeant Manioro's honesty. We have full confidence that the court will accept the evidence of a truthful, valiant, and loyal soldier whose devotion to duty and respect for his officers is the very stuff that the British Army is made of.
He looked at each of the three judges in turn. Gentlemen, the defence rests.
The court will rise to consider its verdict. We will convene again at noon to give judgment.
Wallace stood up and said to the other two judges in a clearly audible sotto voce,
"Well, chaps, it seems we might yet catch that ship."
As they filed out of the courtroom, Leon whispered to Bobby,
"The very stuff that the British Army is made of, that was masterly."
"It was rather, wasn't it?"
"Buy you a beer?"
"Don't mind if you do,"